back at the Pleasant Street Tea Company with Heather Atwood of the Midpod and the Other Cape. And we're going to work through this, even though you're a little under the weather.
Just a little bit, so I apologize for sounding throaty.
How do you get a summer cold?
Well, I think it's no longer summer. Let's just put it that way, and I don't know.
It is still summer until September 21 or whatever it is. All right, so we won't get into the astronomy. So we want to look back. I mean, you've been with the Midpod now for almost 2 years.
No, 1 year.
Yeah,
we started last August.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, the election...
Feels like forever.
Yeah, it feels like 2 years. Okay, the election's coming up in 6-7 weeks, something like that. And so where are we right now? And you've been on a lot of travels. You've had a lot of broadcasts with the Midpod, and you've looked back on a lot of primaries, I presume.
Yes, we have. We've done, I think we've covered 20 actual districts where Nisi and I travel to a district, do all that sort of trotting around, meeting people, having a potluck dinner, interviewing the candidates. And then about a month and a half ago, we started going to 2 episodes a week. So we have these longer episodes that drop, the district visits on Tuesdays, and then Friday we have a candidate interview. So you get to just meet, okay, all these candidates have won their primaries now. So we're introducing you to these candidates who we happened to interview when we were out there. And now that they won their primary, we can give you the full long-form interview with them. So it's a way to learn who these candidates are, and particularly in these competitive races.
What are one or two of the top memories or events or things you come away with from your travels so far? I mean, you've seen a national picture, really. You've gotten a good idea of that from the Democrat side.
Well, I don't know if this is answering your question or not, but I'm going to say one thing I've learned on this journey, okay? And that is just how important primary elections are. And people, just including me, I really wasn't paying all that much attention to understand that's where we get the candidates we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, yeah, the primaries are so important. This is where it all starts. So I will never not vote in a primary again. I will be paying attention to primaries around the country because it is really where it all begins. And if we want good candidates, we have to really be paying attention to those primary elections.
Who is the most memorable person that you have met? Because I know that you talked a couple of times about some Democrat candidates who were very impressive, but you also mentioned one or two other people who were very passionate and very helpful in the interviews. Is there anybody who stands out looking back over the last year?
Let me think. It might be a woman named Siley Avalenda. She was actually involved in our very first visit.
Mm-hmm.
She was working in a bank. She was a lawyer for a local bank. And she was, just like I said, kind of paying attention to government. And then Trump got elected. And this local organization called New Jersey 11 for Change got organized very quickly after that election, and Siley joined. As a mom, a lawyer in the district, she was like, I'm going to get involved. And she ended up, how do I describe the story? The president of the bank invited her into his office and said, look at this letter. And it was a letter from the Republican congressman, incumbent, saying, one of the people who works in this activist group works in your bank. Targeting this woman.
Oh, my.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was, Siley, was so sharp, or the president of the bank was not, and Siley said, oh, dear. And she says her first thought was, you are going to need a good lawyer, Mr. President of this bank, because if I understand what you're saying to me, and so will this congressman. And then she said, she didn't say that, but she said to him, may I take a picture of that, please? And she did. Mm-hmm. And that picture, signed by the congressman incumbent, Republican incumbent, Rodney Frelinghuysen, in black Sharpie, and one of the local activists works in your bank, went viral.
Mm-hmm.
And lawsuits prevailed, and there was an ethics investigation into Rodney Frelinghuysen, a House ethics investigation, and he resigned. So that's quite, I mean, she was simply doing her job and getting involved as an activist, as so many of us have. And that Republican incumbent resigned.
Mm-hmm.
She talked
to him. Yeah. Well, that's head spinning. And the other thing that I was impressed by, and I don't know if it's a positive or a negative impression, but the fact that you and Nisi were on the road and you were going promoting the resistance, if you will, or the Democratic side of things, but that you did make contact with Republicans, and for the most part, they wouldn't talk with you.
No, they really would not speak to us. Almost zero of the actual congresspeople, Republican congresspeople, would speak with us. I say almost zero because Rodney Frelinghuysen's communications director did answer questions by email.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the closest we came.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they weren't particularly helpful, but we did get that. But even Republicans, the offices in the district, none of them would speak to us. They wouldn't open their doors. They would not have any communication with us.
Trying to be as apolitical as possible, I think one thing that concerns me, and maybe you'll have a better reaction to it, is I know like in New York City or in New York State, there's a young woman who is going to be running for Congress at age 28. In Boston, and a longtime incumbent was upset by a woman. But in both cases, these people are considered to be to the far left. And as an apolitical person, I'm looking for someone sort of in the middle, but moderate has become a four-letter word. So in your travels, did you meet, with all your discussions with Democratic candidates, did you meet people who are trying to work to the middle and trying to talk to the other side, to the people who love Trump?
Absolutely. And one of the best examples, I'll give you two examples, but one of the best examples is a woman who I know I've exclaimed about on this show, Lauren Underwood, in Illinois' 14th Congressional District. She's African-American. She's maybe 30. She's in her early 30s. And she basically blew away her primary. There were seven people running, six white guys and her, in a very right-wing Republican district. Mm-hmm. And she won that primary by 57% of the vote. But I tell you that as background. Since she's won her primary, she has been firm about she has not wanted any resistance words associated with her campaign. She said, if I'm elected, I will represent everyone here.
Okay.
She's really reached out to Republican groups. She's had house parties with Republican groups, and they've been very impressed by her.
Okay.
Yeah, no, she's really done a great job.
That's interesting because Roy Moore's opponent who won down in Alabama said the same thing. He said, I'm a Democrat, but I'm going to work across the aisle, and there's a lot of, he comes from a Republican district. So that kind of thing, again, trying to be apolitical gives me hope that maybe the Republicans can do the same thing because right now the split, the divide is big, and you've seen it in your travels.
Yes, this divide is real. And I'll give you another candidate example. In Maine's 2nd Congressional District, you have to pause it for a second.
All right, so we're back.
So I'll give you another example. Maine's 2nd Congressional District, it is the second largest district east of the Mississippi. It's incredibly rural, and there is a young man running there named Jared Golden. And he grew up in the district. He grew up in Leeds, Maine. He joined the Marines, and he was in both Afghanistan and Iraq. He served, and he feels very strongly about his service. And he also understands the district. And I think he's very, very appealing to people in the district for a couple of reasons. One, there was an activist group that wanted to ban the sale of assault rifles in the Kittery Trading Post, which is an iconic Maine business, right? And Jared Golden right now is a state legislator, and he would not endorse that group. Now, he is pro-choice, and he's very left in a lot of ways, in climate and things like that, but he understands this district, believes in their guns. Mm. And it's going to be an interesting point, but he's also worked for Senator Collins, the Republican senator from Maine. He worked in the Department of Homeland Security for her.
So maybe there is hope that this thing can be healed and people from each side can sort of meet in the middle. And I'm hoping. Go ahead.
I will tell you, it's the candidates who have served that really understand that. And they are the ones who are saying country over party.
Okay.
And that is their mantra, and they believe it, and they really feel very strongly about that.
All right, before we change subjects here, anything else on the MidPod? I know that it's coming to an end, so tell us a little bit about the broadcast schedule.
From here on out, we will have a lot of interviews, really good interviews. Nisi does those. I will tell you that Nisi this week moderated a town hall in New Hampshire with a guy named Tom Steyer, who is a billionaire who he's initially sort of hit the media because he started a Need to Impeach campaign. He put out a full-page ad in the New York Times saying that we need to impeach this president, and he was able to collect something like 5 million emails. So he has a strong platform to run for president if he does. But he's also started something called Next Gen, which is organizing young people to get out the vote. So that was an interesting town hall. You'll be able to hear that on our show probably next week.
Okay, and where's the website?
It is themidpod.com.
Okay. All right, sounds good. And I can tell you that it is incredibly well produced. It sounds terrific. What about the other Cape?
So the other Cape is still doing wonderful things, wonderful stories on Cape Ann. Cape Ann and environs, I should say, because one of the more recent stories that came out is on this baseball league in Newburyport that plays vintage baseball. Mm. Have you ever heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's a great story. It's they're beautiful images and things like that. So that's one of the more recent stories. And then I'm working on a story for the other Cape that's about this little group of shops in Rockport that are...
I didn't say a little group of horrors, but...
No. It's a little group of shops. It's not in downtown Rockport. It's in the Whistle Stop Mall, which is sort of this old... it looks like a place that when Rockport was famous for saltwater taffy and fudge and postcards, that was a high point in Rockport.
Right.
And now it's these little tiny shops. And a bunch of local people have set up local stuff there. And they're just four businesses. They're four people who live in the area. They're making things. And I just love these people because it's not a chain. It's not a little, Chinese t-shirt shop, which I'm sure those people have a good business, but this really speaks of Cape Ann, this place. Yeah.
And we'll talk food in the future?
Yes, we will return to our list when I'm feeling a little bit better.
And I also would ask you to dig out some of your experiences across the country with food, because you had some great little get-togethers.
Yes, we did. We had some really good potlucks. And right now, I will tell you that on the MidPod Eat section, which is a whole different section, I have a story about mill towns and bagels.
Okay.
But I haven't told you my best story of the Maine district. Can I tell you that story?
Sure.
All right, so I just came back from Maine's 2nd Congressional District. As I said, Jared Golden is the Democrat running there. And I stayed in Lewiston, Maine. And in Lewiston, Maine, there is an amazing immigration story. Somali refugees, when they first came to this country under the the Refugee Act of 1980, completely legally, and they were invited here. They first settled in near Atlanta, Georgia, and it was a very depressed place for them, and they began to understand that in Lewiston, Maine, where all the paper mills and the textile mills had collapsed, there was housing, there was inexpensive housing, and there were schools for their kids, and they really valued schools. So they ended up moving into Lewiston. Now, Lewiston is 95% white, and suddenly 5,000 Somalian refugees are showing up. Over the course of like 3 years, it ended up being 5,000. Maybe a little bit more years than that, but initially there were 500 and then 1,000. So this was pretty shocking for this city, right? It was not a comfortable fit right away. Mm-hmm. The mayor, after 1 year, said, okay, it's fine that you're here, but don't let any more of your people come. So they were basically freaking out, right? And there's still been some bumpy times. That was in 2002 when this first started.
Mm-hmm.
But then the coach, the soccer coach, the boys soccer coach of the Lewiston High School,
mm-hmm.
who has never won a state championship, said, oh, these kids play soccer. And he started organizing these kids. Well, they came to him and said, hey, we play soccer. But they didn't understand about permission slips. They didn't understand about health forms. So he helped them get organized, and he created the state championship team.
Okay.
2015, they won the state championship.
All right. And I bet they're a welcome part of the community now.
Yes, they are. They are, yeah.
What it takes. All right, that's Heather Atwood. Heather, go take care of yourself. We'll talk later from the Pleasant Street Tea Company. This is MSO News Sports.